All right, welcome everyone. Akasha here, Nan Akasha from nanakasha.com. And this is another one of our amazing opportunities for you to learn, be introduced to, and be able to participate in some amazing energy medicine. So I'm so excited to take the Bliss Life podcast and expand it into a global healing series this year in 2020. Right now, we're all in sheltering, we're all locked down, we're in uncertainty, and this is probably the best thing you're going to hear in a while about how to process it. Once you've gotten through survival, once you've gotten your grip on your day-to-day things, we need to go deeper. And we know that energy is everything, energy shifts everything, and energy can change any situation as we walk through it. So I'm super excited to share with you today this beautiful woman, amazing, Titania Dahlin. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, Dan, it's so wonderful to be here. Yes.
I'm so excited. So normally I don't read bios, but I want to read this one because you're so amazing. You're the daughter of Eden Energy Medicine founder, Donna Eden, if you're familiar with that. And I know you've been working by her side for many, many years. And you also work with energy medicine with kids and energy medicine with life colors, which we're going to talk about some today. And the topic today is really fascinating. It's energy medicine in the indigo age. And so we're going to learn about what is the color, the frequency, the energy that we're in that is inundating the earth and changing our lives and changing structures and revealing everything to us in this age of transparency. So let me just share this with you. So here we go. You teach energy medicine classes internationally and right beside your mother for 20 years as a third generational intuitive healer. You read vibrational colors in people's auras, which are called life colors. And she has identified over 136 colors. Life colors validate your spiritual path, career, marriage, children, and what life partner you attract. As we have an electromagnetic field around our body, some people call it the aura, it's part of your light body. The earth too has one around it and goes through life colors where the global human race and planet also goes through their own lessons. And we are now, according to Tanya, we are in the age of the indigo. So fascinating, amazing. Let's dive in. Share with us a little bit about how you got to do what you do, some of your awesome stories. I know you've had two near-death experiences on top of everything else. And then let's dive into what's happening now.
Sure. Let me start about how I got started with this. So my mother is Donna Eden. So I really grew up knowing about energy. That was the language she really helped me and my sister really learn about and keep alive. Because I think that, and I know that every child sees energy, hears energy. All of their senses are open when they are young. They are, you know, children come to you and talk to you about their invisible friends or their fairies in the garden that they've seen and talked to. You know, all of their senses are open. So we come into this world having our senses opened and really being aware. It's how little kids or babies look all around you and you think, okay, what are they looking at? I was really always jealous of my two-year-old when he was a baby because he kept talking to the invisible people in the room and I'm like, I'm here, let's bond. But he kept talking to everybody else. So he's very aware. But so when I was young, I was always talking about colors when I was seeing people around, colors around people, homeless people in the streets and telling my mother what colors I was seeing, of course, talking to fairies as well. But as I grew up, I got into a public school, and the public school was so harsh on my energies. It just, You know, in those days, in the 70s, we didn't know a lot about some of the alternative schools like Waldorf or Montessori. I'm a Waldorf school teacher now as well, because I wanted to open that up with children. But when I was growing up, the school was so harsh that I began to close down, and I became very much of an introvert and never spoke. I stopped speaking, and my mother started seeing this when I was young and went to the teachers and said, "What's wrong with Tanya? She's always such a bright light." And they said, "Well, she's perfect. She doesn't talk." And then she thought, "Wait a second, there's something wrong." But it was a really harsh place. So I was very, very much a shy girl, and I didn't have a lot of friends. And what happened when I was young that possibly it has influenced my way of observing and reading colors and vibrations in people is that I would put myself in the art room and I would just paint, and the colors became like my friends, and I knew the mood of every single color. While the other kids were out at recess, I was immersing myself in color, and I didn't know that that would be a thread to today. So about 13 years ago, I was at a workshop with my mother, and my mother, who always sees energies, so that is her way that she really reads energy, is feeling and seeing. And I kind of pushed down my kind of sight. I didn't want to see. I didn't even want to hear, which is my way of bringing in life colors. I hear energy and I feel energy. But I didn't want to see, because you see the dark as well as the light. And I'm really an optimist, and I don't want to put images in my head. So I pushed down the sight. And anyway, my other faculties began to get a lot stronger. So 13 years ago, at this workshop, and my mother was always constantly writing the colors in people's books that they bought from her, and she would look around them and say, "Oh, you're a beautiful violet and blue," and tell them their colors. And then at this particular workshop, we were always really interested in how my mother would tell us about the colors. And she actually got it from a woman in the 80s that she learned from, because she wanted to know, okay, what is it that she's seeing around people, this vibration, this color, this energy. So there was a woman named Nancy Tappy in the 80s, and she's not around anymore, but she does have a few publications still out there on the net. But she was an amazing woman who had synesthesia, and she was legally blind. And what she did was taste colors. She was one of the first people, along with Edgar Cayce, to see that there were indigo children being born in the 80s. And she saw that these children had a different vibration and started giving these classes about the indigo children. She was the first person to coin the term indigos. And her name isn't around anymore. So I love to bring her in, because she had these 12 to 13 colors that my mother kept writing in the books. And then all of a sudden at this particular workshop, she wrote in somebody's book that they were a dusty rose. Well, dusty rose wasn't in our vocabulary. There was just these 12 to 13 colors. And this woman was a little frantic, and she came over to my vending table and she goes, "Oh my God, I don't know what dusty rose means. I need to find out what it means. I need to find," and something spoke through me, and I have no idea what it was, but I said, kind of with glazed eyes, I said, "I'll tell you what that means." And we made an appointment, and then I went to my partner and I said, oh my God, what did I do? I made this appointment and I have no idea. And he said, "Just go. I know who you are. You just let go and see what happens." And so I did. I went to the appointment that day, and I just started letting go and tuning in. And all of a sudden she says, "Wait a second, stop." And I'm like, "I didn't get anything right, did I? Nothing's right." And she said, "You have told me my whole life story. It is amazing. Her mouth was open. My mouth dropped open. And it's pretty much been dropped open ever since 13 years. So from those 12 to 13 colors that Nancy Tappy talked about, all of a sudden I realized from this woman getting a dusty rose that my mother said, I can't just tell her she has red. She actually has a different shade. And so I realized that, oh, I opened up my own box and realized, wow, this person doesn't have violet, but it's much deeper. When they sit near me, there's a much more grounded, stable kind of character that is grounding me. I believe they have purple. And then I started realizing that every single color in this world is what everybody is going to be because we're so unique and individual. So that's kind of how Life Colors came about. They're constantly surprising me. And it's how I get to know people and how I get to know myself too, because whenever a color comes into my consciousness, I'm giving a reading to someone who is a blue and a red, which I am. I'm giving them their lessons and challenges and spiritual journey in life. I'm also telling myself, I'm going, hey, wait a second, I haven't really gotten on board here. And so that was part of also my near-death experiences, was realizing, wow, I really need to get on board with my lesson and challenge and let go of my plan in order to step into something greater that the universe wants to give to me. So that's part of that story. It's all
I love the part about I had to let go of my plan. That's kind of been a topic lately, right? Is everybody is having to let go of their plans right now and go into that. So, well, good. So tell us a little bit about the age of the indigo. I think most people have heard of indigo children.
Yes.
And we were just talking before how they're now 20s and early 30s or so. And mm-hmm. So they're coming into a place where they're having an impact. And my kids are from the 90s.
Yes.
From 97. But you know, the millennials and that this the different ones we've already can see, they don't think the same. They aren't attached to our egoic goals. You know, they don't like, oh, I'm going to go get any job and just work there forever. And it's just, you know, my one daughter's like, well, I'll do this. And, you know, and there's such a different perspective. They're literally wired so differently. So tell us about what's happening.
Okay. So about, when I was going through my two near death experiences, that's when I really felt the shift happening. We were in the violet age. So let me back up because let me tell you how the age of indigo, we're in the age of indigo right now. And that means when we have an aura around our body, and that's where different fields sit. And in these different fields, it's how you perceive the world. And what is your personality like? Is it fun or is it introverted? There's many different fields in the aura, and the life color sits at the sixth field, but it embeds into your body. I mean, if we didn't have this electromagnetic field around ourselves and kind of connected into our physical being, we'd pretty much be dead because it holds together all of our muscles and our skin and our bones. This is our spirit. So I call them life colors from Nancy Tappy, who created this name, life colors. And in life colors, it's about this lifetime. It's not about your past lifetime. Although in your past lifetime, you could have been a completely different color because you were going through lessons and challenges in that lifetime. Dealing with what your environment was and what your belief system was. And we go through so we can evolve in every single lifetime. But every now and then, maybe you have a band of color that comes into your field of energy that is kind of like scar tissue that maybe you didn't really learn this lesson, so you're going to get it a little bit more in this lifetime, but you might come in with different colors, but there is still a band that relates to maybe a past life, so we get triggered in this lifetime, and maybe we think, God, it feels so is familiar. This feels so familiar, this experience. Why am I feeling this in this way? And it could be your life colors. So back to what I was talking about. Like, we have the electromagnetic field around us. The planet herself has an electromagnetic field around it. People talk about holes being in the atmosphere. Well, maybe the holes are being woven up and healed right now because the Earth is taking her vacation. And I'm hoping so, because that is part of, you know, when we rest. And, you know, right now we're all in this place, either taking a breath and really resting and pulling the brakes on our schedule. Our aura also gets strong in that way when we rest and really give back to ourselves. So maybe the Earth herself is doing so. So about in 2009, when I had my near-death experiences, well, all my senses opened up again. I could see again. And I was like seeing a lot of interesting things. Always the hearing, you know, humming and buzzing or voices going on. I'm like, stop, you're too loud. And feeling is a big one for me. But I just wanted to tell my guides, stop, I don't want to see. I told you when I was little, I don't want to see anything. But in that moment, I really was feeling that there was a shift happening. And so the transitions from the Earth in a vibration, this color, this vibration, this energy happens. The transition happens for about 10 to 12 years. It's slow, like the Earth herself. The Earth changes slowly. So it's not quick. It's not a quick thing, this transition. So in that time, we were in the age of Violet. Violet was happening on the planet for 30 years, up into the late 70s. And before that was the age of Blue. And before that, the age of Green, right up until the 1900s, 1910s, 20s, 30s. And you can find a lot of this information on some of my YouTube channels, Energy Medicine Woman. I don't want to take up a lot of time talking about each of the ages. I want to focus on Indigo. So we came out of the Violet time, and in 2012, like, you know, Nan, you know, the time where people were thinking, okay, is it the end of the world because the Mayan calendar has ended? And everybody was talking about the great shift that was happening. Well, the shift was happening, but it was really kind of slow in coming. And in the Earth was shaking and shimmying with earthquakes and tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, fires, just really shaking us up. And a lot of people in people's lives, and this was about Violet. Violet was all about people. Violet energy is all about holding on to control. And their lesson is to let go and step into faith. We're kind of doing a little bit of that in the Indigo age, but that was the Violet lesson. And so with this shaking up and people getting divorces, people losing their jobs, which is still going on, that is that place of really stepping into this place of trust and faith and knowing that there is a greater plan out there. So we move into Indigo, and I started feeling that the Earth, especially the other side, when my faculties were open, was coming closer and closer to our reality. The other side is the place where our ancestors have gone. You know, the place where maybe the elemental beings in the Earth, they were starting to get awakened in what I feel was that they really wanted to help our planet to survive, because the Earth was pretty much crying out for help, because we have done so much to her. And people were starting to die pretty quickly. It was like people who were really, really well, all of a sudden they got an illness, whether it was cancer or something else, and just spiraled down really, really quick, and then they were gone on the other side. Or people who weren't sick at all, like Wayne Dyer, just died in his sleep. I believe that the people were, like, people were being chosen to really help the balance of where we were on this side. So I really do feel like there's a tremendous energy coming from the other side to help us balance. So indigo comes around, and what happens is that I'm like waiting, and I know that the indigo was like competing with violet. This is kind of, it was like competing for its energies. And then I was in England at the time, and Brexit came about 3 years ago, and Brexit kind of really tripped people up. People were for Brexit or they were against Brexit, but the whole energy of Europe was in a little bit of chaos at that time. And I don't know if it was the dateline or not, but they experienced going into indigo before we did here in America. And then it happened with Donald Trump. Donald Trump was elected and the same thing happened. Two different sides, people for Donald Trump, people against Donald Trump. And indigo is really about balance, bringing balance in. And so it's people on the right, people on the left. It is the other side and it is reality, trying to find a balance, the balance of nature and technology, which is really coming about right now because Mother Earth has pulled the brakes and is like, wait a second. but we are still on our technology, on our devices right now while we are in lockdown, and the earth is taking a vacation, replenishing, and that is something that we really need to get out into, is nature herself, because that will really help us. But indigo energy, it is a renaissance that we are going into right now, and you called it the age of transparency, and I love that term because indigo is about transparency. You think of the indigo kids that were really challenging their parents, their teachers, their school systems to think outside of the box, to question everything, and that's what indigo does. And right now, a lot of us are on the computers thinking, you know, what is this virus all about? I need to find an answer. And in many different places in time, when the plague or wars came about, or when a control of government might be about, people have been needing to find answers. But indigo is really all about questioning something different. Also, thinking outside of the box and not thinking about where we've been and what we've been doing. Let's do it differently. Let's do it differently. But the age of transparency, what you have said, I love that term, because it is also about truth. Truth coming up to the surface, whether it is with what we are seeing in information in the news, or questioning, could that really be true? Or in our own personal lives with relationships and the truth about our relationships and knowing, okay, what is really going on, and really coming to this place of isolation and really being with our partners or our children or with ourself and really knowing, okay, what is my truth here? What is my life? Good? Is my life what I want it to be? You know, really diving in and really coming out of this in a different light, because we have been questioning. There's so much to indigo, but that's a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's really important, you know, for years, my website and everything was all about create your own reality. How do you, you know, that we do. And I remember when I finally decided to take a look at, you know, astrology type of stuff, and because a friend of mine had been feeding me little tips on how to handle my husband and my kids, I'm like, where does this come from? And she's like, oh. And so I asked an expert, I said, if I believe I create my reality, and yet there's these energies, right? There's a full moon, there's Mercury retrograde, there's this happening, that happening. How do those two fit together? You know, how can I stay feeling like I can, you know, create my reality, I can shift what's happening, I can rise above this and stay in a higher state through chaos or whatever, and yet this is happening outside? So I'm fascinated to hear how you interpret that, because the answer I got, I really did like. She said, use it like a weather report. You don't go to the beach in a hurricane for a picnic. So it's like an energetic weather report, right? What's helping? But I think the insights that you're giving help people, they can look through what's happening. And of course, globally, we're experiencing similar things, but then everybody's experience personally is different. And what's coming up is the fears that have to be let go, right? Be seen, be accepted, be balanced out. And it is the time of unity. We're at the stage of unity. And so that is balancing the masculine, the feminine, the spiritual, the material, and all of these different things.
Yes.
So yeah, let's go deeper.
I love that you talked about a weather report. When I'm working with the kids, we usually go around the circle and say, okay, what's your weather for today? So I love that. That's one of mine too. Oh. One of the things that I, on one of my other groups that I'm involved in, someone said something, and I love this. I love this because my partner is in a different kind of situation than I am throughout this crisis or chaos. I think that there is such a light that is happening, and that balance of light and dark, because we are also facing our own shadows, whether it is within ourselves and things coming up, but it's the highs and the lows, big highs, big lows of what we're going through this in this quarantine, which I'm mostly calling a retreat for myself, but I have gone through it myself. It's like, oh my goodness, what is going to happen? Are we going to come out of this looking like a sci-fi movie? And that was some of my fears. but going up and down with it, knowing that he is in a different boat. Someone said, yeah, we are in it together, but really it's kind of frustrating to keep on hearing we're in it together, because we're in the same storm, but we are in separate boats. And I loved that analogy, because that is true. Yes, we are trying to take care of each other in it. We're going through the same storm, but we are definitely in different boats here as well. But yeah, I believe that this place of retreat, that in my life, you know, the indigo age is also about speeding up. The energy in the last few years, even the last 10 years, people go, oh my God, what happened to 2018, 2019? What happened to the week? What happened to the month? You know, it was going, and our schedules for so many of us was like nonstop, and we could not take a break to even take care of us, ourselves, and our family besides. And now the schedule has been pulled, and all of a sudden we are taking care of ourselves more than ever, and really kind of tuning into what is actually going on within us and what really matters. What really matters is family, is love. It's not the materialistic things that we sometimes, some of us hoard, and we realize now we're cleaning out our closets and we're realizing we have way too much stuff. And that is really part of this materialistic place of, you know, this is also about recycling and regenerating the earth, and knowing that maybe the things that we have, we can scale down and simplify more, because that is what we are experiencing here now. And the place of really just taking a breath, just like the earth herself is doing. Take a breath and just notice, what are you grateful for? That's little tiny things that you're grateful for, are things that are, when the world is falling apart, energy begets energy. And I know you know this, when you begin to be thankful for a flower popping up in the springtime, that's the place of hope, a symbol of hope, a symbol that there is light at the end of the tunnel. And we're coming into this place of spring while we are in this place of uncertainty and mystery. And the ancient ones I knew know say that the place of mystery is the best place to be, because you don't know. And that's the place where you learn and you evolve more than any other time, is that place of uncertainty and mystery. So, and that's the place where we are in. And I think we just need to, you know, really surrender to what is. And for myself, oh my gosh, I've gotten back to my painting that I haven't gotten to in 18 years. And I'm like loving. And that, you know, finding a hobby that is connected to your own being and your own source is something that I think a lot of people are just loving, just coming back to who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, because we haven't had time, or we felt like we couldn't take the time. We felt guilty for spending time on ourselves. And now that's shifting. It's so funny you said that. A lady I interviewed earlier today said the same thing. She says, suddenly I'm painting. I haven't painted in 17 years. Yeah, so that creative flow. So give us a, why don't you share some, I know you have all kinds of energy medicine tools and processes and things. So why don't we play with some of those, some of the things that will help people through this and integrate and to be okay with it. Cause I know for a lot of my clients, like you said, that up and down thing, right? It's just been like, oh, and they want it to even out. And yet it's learning to choose your state while everything around you is going up and down.
Yeah.
And that ability to be in it, because it is all good. And yes, things aren't going to be the same. And it's our opportunity to let go of all that. But of course, the fears and the resistances come up. And a lot of the thoughts around, I can't do enough, you know, letting go of the rush has been really difficult. I know for a lot of people. I have one client who's like, I'm trying to meditate. I just get angry because I want to go make something happen, you know?
Exactly. That people are in different boats with that too. People want to either get back to work because, and not look at the dangers of getting back to work, or they're in quarantine and they don't know what to do with themselves. They're just with themselves. And it's like, okay, now what do I do? I've always had someone else tell me, you know, do this and do that. And now they're there. One of the best things, before I get into some of the exercises that has been really good for myself and really good for my own clients, is grounding. Grounding is so good. And like I was telling you, getting out in nature, taking a walk and really just smelling all the smells around you, with the trees and the earth and maybe the ocean, and just bringing it into all of your senses, hearing sounds of birds, hearing sounds of children laughing, hearing sounds of whatever it is, the trees creaking, really getting in and just walking in nature and feeling your feet on the ground. If you could walk barefoot, that is even better. But even going out into nature and taking off your feet and putting them in grass is, and moss is the best. I love moss. But putting them in grass, but even walking on the beach with sand, or putting your feet on a warm rock and just grounding. And just being in that place of just continually breathing and letting go is like such heaven for your whole system. It's just to ground. And that up and down roller coaster energy is something of needing to do something, or feeling that they have to do something. And just grounding and getting back into nature is something that is really easy for a lot of us. Some of us, is hard to meditate. if we're like a go person, very hard to meditate. So sometimes my meditation is walking in nature and just feeling gratitude. So let me give you some exercise too, because energy medicine is part of my world as well. One of the things I was thinking of, because a lot of people are questioning and looking on the internet for answers, and sometimes the energy coming off of the computer and off of what you are searching out can make your mind so stuffed up that sometimes it's hard to go to sleep at night, because you're thinking of all the fears, you're thinking of all the anxiety, you're thinking of, when can I go back to work? When can my business open? All these things are inside your head. So I like to clear that stuffy mind. And my mother calls this the crown pull, because it connects in with the third eye and your head. So what we do is we just begin to open up starting with our forehead and just opening it up with a breath. Coming all the way down to your temples, which are triple warmer energy. This is the fight, flight, or freeze that some of us may be in. We may be in freeze, where we don't know what to do. And then you keep traveling up the top of your head on your hairline, all the way up, and open it up like you're cracking open an egg. And it really helps. And you go all the way back to the back space, all the way down. And it really helps calm the mind. And on your shoulders, you can just hang here on your shoulders when you come to your shoulders and cross your energies. And just give yourself a nice little massage and come down to your heart chakra and let go. Just brings that mind back to your heart, back to your body, so that you are not having that monkey mind where so many things are happening. So that's a really good one. It's called the crown pull, or cleaning out the stuffy mind. Another one for anxiety, because a lot of people, anxiety has been really up, and I'm not knowing the uncertainty of what is going to come, or being stuffed in the house and not knowing what to do with themselves. So sometimes what I like to do is take one hand over my heart chakra area, or over my heart itself. And I like to tune in with my heart and feel where my heartbeat is. So if your heartbeat is racing, going da 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 da, you tap in between your fourth and fifth fingers and you start with where your heart is. So if it's racing, maybe you're getting irritated at your partner because you're staying in with your partner 24/7 and they're not going off to work. Sometimes that brings up anxiety. So you start with where your heartbeat is, and then you begin to slow it down to a normal heartbeat and breathe with this. So this area right there is a fear point. So it's really good for fear as well. And you bring it down to a normal heartbeat. So anytime fear comes up, that's just, even just tapping there is really good to do, is the fear. And then that anxiety can also come up in the way of like a volcanic kind of energy. And maybe you're in the house with your partner or your kids and you're like, I don't know what to do with this right now. And the best thing is to just breathe big, three big breaths. But what I also do is sometimes I do with this with the children too. If their energy is too far out in themselves, sometimes I just bring down the energy with one hand all the way down. So we call it butterfly wings, and the butterfly wings come down and we breathe. And it calms your energy. Then I take two hands up, connect them with my palms, and bring them down. And then I clasp up my hands on my heart. And that's really good for children who are a little bit bouncing off the walls, or ADHD, or can't go to sleep at night. That's really good, bringing that energy down. And if they are the other way, maybe they're too inward and they pull their aura in. And in that way, when you pull your aura in, many more viruses and illness can come into your physical being if your energy is pulled in. But shy children don't know that. They just kind of want to hide. And at the same time, they want to be noticed at the same time, but they pull themselves in like I did when I was young. And so I do it the other way, the butterfly flying away. And so your aura begins to get bigger, and you can bring this in with a color as well, which is really nice to bring in your aura. And you can just do it also the same way with both hands and just really touch the sides of your aura. Those are a few things that are good. I have a million.
I love that though. I love the butterfly thing too. I very love butterflies and that. And I feel like we're in a metamorphosis right now, right? We're letting go of all form, all identity, all understanding of what the edges look like, and getting all gooey. So reaching out, that's so beautiful. So how would somebody who wants to understand their life colors and how they're integrating with the moment now? I mean, we're all here for a reason. You wouldn't be here right now if there wasn't a reason for it. So even if it's scary or confusing, for me, I love that when I just go back to there's a reason, there's a purpose, and get do some of these things to release the energies and be able to become present and calm. So like for, I don't know, I don't want to like put you on the spot, like, but like if you saw a certain color in my field, would you then talk about how that color integrates with the indigo or how people are shifting now or?
Definitely. So this is an evolving time for so many of us, even if we're a different color. And I know you have some blue and some violety purple in your field, Nan. And I love that. It's hard to see because you have so many other colors in reality going on. But when somebody would come to me for a reading, I would talk to them about their colors and then tell them how they would be connected to this age right now. But what is also happening is that it really started happening in the violet age into the indigo is about opening up the box about what you're really doing in the world. So if you have a career that may be a 9-to-5 career and it just paid the bills, but it's not really what your soul is really passionate about, this is the time that really going inside and thinking about something of one of your gifts that you want to bring out to the world that enlivens you, that makes you passionate. And in that way, looking at it in a different way to that other people may not be looking at it in a way. So I also deal with five elements as well, five elements, which is also about colors and energy. And sometimes when somebody comes to me and says, well, I really like to just crochet. I like to crochet. I like to weave. I like to do things like that. Well, why don't you just begin to weave and crochet your own story into the web, into your own web. And in that way, you are bringing about a change in your spiritual growth, understanding what is happening. And kind of like Arachne, the goddess, there was a story about her, or doing something where it's a piece of art that goes beyond making a basket or making a hat, that it is woven into maybe colors that connect to people's soul's journey. Whatever it is, it's like thinking outside of the box for your own story and what you're supposed to be doing in the world too. Because when we come out of this, a lot of people, I believe, are going to need some real guidance and bringing back to a reality that some people may feel a little bit not grounded in. And so a lot of the healers and the light workers are going to really be full with people really needing the assistance. And people are also waking up to their own intuition right now in the indigo age. Indigo is also all about psychic perception, and we're all evolving. We're evolving our bodies. We're evolving our physical being. We're taking care of ourselves like we have never done before. I'm taking more supplements than I've ever done in my whole entire life, but really evolving our body. But it starts with our energy. Starts with our energy field. It doesn't start inside and going inside in the spiral of the shadow. It does, because you have to just kind of look at yourself. But it is about the energy, working with your energy within your body and really seeing what is here in order to evolve it into a different place so that we can all be on the same boat when we get into, I don't know what's coming after indigo, and I don't know if it's a 30-year range, because the kids that are being born today, and that's a whole nother story, are opalescent. My mother coined this term opalescent, which is a lot of pastel colors in their field of energy. And then I started seeing other children that I call rainbow kids, because they have vibrant colors, like the tapestry on the back of your wall, vibrant purple and vibrant pink and vibrant yellow. And that's how they are. I have one of those rainbow kids myself, my 2-year-old, but that's how their energy is. But they are bringing unconditional love to this planet. So if that's the next age, woohoo!
Yeah, no kidding.
Because they are bringing love to humanity, especially to parents and families that really have been in the dredges of real difficult times. And these children are being born holding a space for unconditional love and just bringing that joy forward. So who knows if that's the next age or not. We'll see.
Well, the Rainbow Tribe, White Buffalo Calf Woman, the Rainbow Light Body, those are all very advanced. The Rainbow Light Body is the highest achievement most of the masters have received or achieved on the planet.
And it's fun that all the kids are making rainbows, chalk rainbows, and in their windows and things too.
Yeah. Yeah, so that wouldn't surprise me. As I that's my favorite thing is a full color spectrum, like you're talking about, like all of these different colors. Well, so let's wrap up by talking a little bit about how do we not just survive this or figure out how to, you know, be with ourselves and be with the things that are coming up, and make sure that we don't rush back in. Once the doors are opened, you know, that's my biggest thing now is like, oh, I pray that this doesn't like, oh, it's over. And everybody just rushes back into the old patterns because I don't think that'll work. But what can people do to like do that? Begin to go, okay, this isn't just about this moment. Who am I going to be? What kind of world do I want to create? And how can I prepare for that?
So true. So true. I think that's a big fear of mine too, is because I feel energy starting to rev up now that people are now, you know, some of them are going back to businesses are opening and things like that. And I think it's way too soon, but this awareness just to, you know, when we go through a lesson, it's about really being conscious and aware of what you have been through and bring in the takeaways that you got from this moment in time. So many of us have been wanting our schedules to slow down or wanting a different change in our career, but we were too scared to let go of the 9-to-5 job that paid the money. You know, right now, all of a sudden, it is really about taking the lesson and either writing it down, making a picture of it, but really putting it into our consciousness, because it is really easy to go back to the old ways. And I am one of those that is very aware that I just don't want to go back. But taking little takeaways from this, it might not be all of it, but we have learned, we have been given a gift here for really stepping into this place of pause and feeling, okay, what is it that you really want in life? Is your relationship working? Is the family connection and communication working? Is your job working? What is it, your spiritual journey? Is that working for you right now? This isolation is bringing us into this awareness. But if we don't write it down, kind of like what is it that you can do in order to remember this? Like for me, sometimes I have to put up signs around my house. Early on when we were going into it and I was getting the fear of what this could be, I got a download from somebody in my life who had passed away last year. And she came in so strong. And I really feel like she was on like a Mardi Gras parade, even with some of the people that have crossed over, even Kobe Bryant and his daughter. She was there. And Robin Williams was there. Wayne Dyer, they were all there. And she was there. And she said, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay. And that was so clear to me. And so I had to put that up on my mirror. It's gonna be okay. Just telling myself there's a greater plan at stake here. And when I was going through my near-death experiences, I really came to the point where, oh my God, our ancestors are all around us. Our higher guides are all around us. people and thing, higher guides was something that I couldn't quite connect to. And there they were, really helping me to survive and live. And now I know they're always around, but we need to ask, you know, ask for the guidance. They're always around, and they are there now as well as the elemental beings in nature. They're always around. And when I was going through my near-death experience and constantly telling myself my lesson of what I was going through. So blue, I'm a blue like you. You're a blue life color too. And blues are the nurturers, the healers, the ones who really want to take care of everybody. Their biggest lesson is to take care of themselves. And sometimes they forget that because everybody is needing something and they forget themselves. So this is a really good time for blues to take this pause. But also in that time, also we were going through the violet age. So the violet age was about surrender. Right now we're also in this place of surrender and letting go and knowing that there is a greater plan than we could have ever imagined. And maybe it may be scary. Maybe we are in the place of anxiety and chaos about if our business is going to survive. There is a greater plan. And if on the other side we get out of this, there may be something that you may not have ever imagined or ever could have seen. But doing exercises like getting out into nature and grounding yourself is the best. But knowing that there is something, a divine plan, even in when we make our tiny little plans in life and our schedules, there is also a greater plan on this planet, which I believe, whether, you know, you believe in your own source, your own God, your own goddess, whatever that is, just tuning in and just letting go and continuing to breathe, knowing that you are taken care of because you signed up for this life too. We all did. We signed up for the people in our lives to bring us the lessons that our mother and our father, our children, it is all part of a bigger plan in order for us to evolve. So continuing to breathe and just getting the little takeaways from this time and putting them down in writing, in a painting, and however, in a tape recorder, and telling yourself, this is what I remember. This is what I came into in this time, so that when we come out of it, just reminding ourselves about this time, because this is our time for growth. This is our time for evolution. And we've all been wanting to come into a different place where there is more peace, more on the planet, more connection with people understanding one another in a different way. And this is a global consciousness as well as the individual as well. And I think that too. That's a really long answer, but there you go, man.
No, I love it. I love it. It's you talk just like I do. yeah. Well, and I think that the biggest thing I've seen 35 years as a healer, a shamanic healer, a hypnotherapist, a homeopath, and all these other things is that having the honor like you have to see deep inside of people, right? They come and they just spill it all and we go journeying into their energy field and we see what's happening. And I think even for me, constantly working on myself for all this time, there's this sense of, am I doing it right? Not, like you said, not fully completing things or being attached to or disappointed. If you're like, oh, I thought I dealt with that thing about my dad. Why is that coming up again? And not forgetting, like you said, reminding yourself of what a good idea to put something down about your most beautiful feelings in this moment, like when you find peace in this moment, when the world is quiet still, when you have none appointments and things, and you can be just be. Yeah. This is something we've lost. I mean, I used to realize as an adult, I never get to be bored. You know, as a little kid, we used to be like told, go outside and entertain yourself. And right. You go through this phase of boredom. And pretty soon you get through it, and then you're in creativity and you're talking to your fairies, and you know, you're in a whole other place. And I think that that is so important right now, is to not only let go of wanting to get back to the important stuff in your life, reevaluating what's important, but then finding a way to say, to make a decision now, I'm not going to go back to that. These are the things I want to bring with, and leaving yourself little reminders around that too. Oh, good. Well, I could just talk with you all day. It's fun. Why don't you share with us what you have for us as a gift, and also your website and how people can find you?
Okay. So my website is energymedicinewoman.com. And if you go there, you will get a free gift. And that free gift is a video of 5 exercises connecting to 5 different emotions that you may be going through during this time. And those emotions are fear, anger, panic, worry, and grief. 5 different exercises. So you may want to go over there. I have a lot of information about life colors and my readings as well. Many different videos on YouTube, Energy Medicine Woman, and a channel for children, Energy Medicine for Kids, called Titania's Energy Medicine Playground. And is that all?
I think so. Yeah, we'll have all those links for you guys everywhere in the email, or it's probably under this video or audio there as well. So, oh, wonderful. I love that. Well, grief is my big one in life. And I figured that out not too long, far along the path, is that, okay, this is what I'm unpacking in the world. And so, yeah, having these tools, I can tell you that when my daughter died about 23 years ago, I was so new to all this, but I'm so grateful that I was at least a couple years into learning meditation and learning massage and learning energy and learning Reiki and these different things, because my perspective on what happened and whether or not I would be here, I don't believe I would still be here. I didn't want to live. And it was these tools, the affirmations from Louise Hay, you know, the meditations, the ways of shifting that energy, unpacking the panic, I mean, panic attacks and all this stuff. And so I have literally made my whole life about carrying this little toolbox with me of knowing, like, oh, okay, this is happening now, you know, what kind of energy things I can do. So those are really valuable. And what I love is that they're simple and easy to learn. You don't have to go get certified, right? You don't have to go through an entire course, that you're already moving energy, whether you can feel it or not, right?
Yes.
Get that stuff moving around. Wonderful. So what would you like to leave us with today?
Oh, I would like to leave you with something that I am constantly reminding myself of, is what I talked to you about before, of knowing that there is a greater plan when you're in that place of despair, in the place of chaos, and you not don't know what's going on, maybe even the place of not connecting to your own source. Know that there is something greater that is helping you meet that place of your own source. I would like to leave you with an exercise that my mother always brings, and this is the place where you're in that place of uncertainty. You don't have the answers. And so what we do is we rub our hands together, let go, and we just open up to the heavens. We just open up really wide, and you just stretch open your chest, close your eyes, and it's really good to do this outside in nature. And in underneath the beautiful celestial sky at night even, and just know that there are higher guides, there are a bevy of angels, there are even your ancestors, your parents, your grandparents, anybody who really connected with you so much that is always there to help you. And there are always answers. And if you could just let go and be in that place of trust, then you just kind of help yourself in many ways. And then you just gather all that energy and put it in the middle of your heart chakra. And this is the place called Heaven Rushing In. And that's the name of the exercise. Heaven rushes in that time when you really, really need it. And you just feel more calm and peaceful with whatever you're going through.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking time when you have a little 2-year-old. I heard your kitty going, "What about me?" Talking in the background and everything. This has been amazing. I hope we can get together again because I know you have so many more things to share. And I appreciate your tools. I appreciate your colors. I appreciate that you came back out, you know, after shutting down like a lot of us do as a kid. You know, I became the people pleaser and the overachiever and trying to make everybody happy because, you know, I was never okay the way I was, right? Stop doing that. Don't do this. You do this. You do that. So then, and yet this is the beautiful thing. And the other thing, I really appreciate what you said because I have been telling my clients and my students this for years, that we are going to come to a point where our values shift and energy medicine is going to be priority. It's going to be sought out, that we're going to rise up to be the people who can truly help and are revered and respected. And so it's one of the reasons why I want to share this, because it's the time, and I'm honored to be on the National Alliance of Energy Practitioners. It's actually forming standardization in the U.S., something unprecedented. I didn't think I'd see in my lifetime, and bringing all of this stuff. So thank you for being you and being so beautiful and bright and wonderful and letting all that shine. I could just imagine what your mother thought. She doesn't talk. What? Right? And you get shut down at school. So wonderful. Yeah. Thank you very, very much, sweetheart. We really appreciate it.
So welcome.
All right. So thank you, everyone. Let's take a moment and take all this beautiful energy that we've brought in and all these colors. And let's just tune in for a moment to our beautiful planet, to Gaia, to the earth, to our mother, to our sister, to our fellow traveler. And feel that heaven rushing in and down through us and gift it into the earth, into the plants, into the waters, into the elements, down, 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 down right into that liquid crystal core. And now just feel, let's let her respond and send that breath back up into us. And allow it to move through you. Don't hold on to it. Put it out and around the planet. Beautiful. So I hope that you take these tools and you'll share them with everyone. You'll teach your kids, you'll learn them, you'll write them down, and you'll practice, because the more of us who say, okay, I'm the one inside of here, I'm the one that can say what this means and what the energy is, the sooner we can create that tipping point. And for sure, take these things, contact Tanya, look at her videos, and use all of this information to decide, who are you going to be? What energies are you going to contribute right now, not just to your house, your body, your kids, the people you're dealing with, but to the planet and to the world that we're creating? Because the breakdown is an opportunity. Chaos is opportunity. We get to reform in whatever way we want. What a beautiful thing. All right. Thank you again, everyone. Have a beautiful and blessed day.